First, let's take a look at our headlines.
Tributes to José Martí on the 167th anniversary of his birth.
President Díaz-Canel, I learn every time I meet with students.
Lula calls on Brazilians to fight to regain nation's democracy.
Palestinians threatened to quit also a course over Trump peace plan.
And now the news in detail.
Cubans are celebrating this Tuesday a day of homage to the national hero, José Martí, on the occasion of the 167th anniversary of his birth. This time, the tribute is part of the acts of restitution to the apostle. After two people linked to the Cuban-American ultra-right in South Florida desecrated busts of the hero in Havana. As part of the day of homage, young people will participate in the marches in public squares, including the Plaza of the Revolution Square in Havana. Two national television channels are airing special programming for the occasion. The celebrations began on Monday night with the traditional torchlight march from the steps of the nearly 300-year-old University of Havana to the Fragua Martiana, a memorial located at the old quarries of San Lázaro, where the young Martí spent several months after being condemned to forced labor by the Spanish colonial regime in 1870. The first secretary of the Cuban Communist Party, Raúl Castro, together with the President of the Republic, Miguel Díaz-Canel, and other top officials, led the torchlight march, which was attended by thousands of young people. The activity recalled the first march, organized in 1953, on the occasion of Martí's centennial. Activities are held throughout the country in remembrance of the distinguished patriot, an outstanding politician, writer, thinker, teacher, journalist, and fighter, who fell in combat on May the 19th, 1895, in Dos Ríos, in the former province of Oriente.
Cuban President Miguel Díaz-Canel declared this Monday that he will always learn something every time he meets with Cuban students. Speaking at the plenary session of the National Council of the University Student Federation, FEU, Díaz-Canel stressed the importance of the role of students in their contributions to the task of the revolution. The president discussed all that can be done to protect youth from the manipulations of imperialism, including more preparation and arguments. And he referred to the hostile policy of the U.S. government, which now increases its aggressiveness against Cuba. In the FEU event, which began Sunday, students are analyzing the role of students in both the economic battle and the nation's defense. The working sessions discuss the operations of the organization, teaching and research, political ideological work, communication, and university extension. They also assessed compliance with the agreements of the 9th Congress of FEU held in July 2018.
The former president of Brazil, Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, said that we must continue to fight to regain democracy in his country. During an interview with the Argentinian newspaper Página 12, Lula criticized the judicial process against him that was promoted by the prosecutor of the Lavo Jato case, Sergio Moro. The former president called the Minister of Justice Moro a liar and challenged him to show some evidence against him. Lula declared that President Bolsonaro and Moro suffered a political setback when he regained freedom. He does not rule out being imprisoned again using some legal pretext. The former president said that at the beginning of March, he is preparing to tour the country, campaigning for the municipal elections in October. Lula said that for me to be a candidate for president, there would have to be an irreversible situation, indicating that I would be the only person capable of winning, capable of defeating the right. But we will work to find people younger than me and with more physical vigor to make Brazil better.
Palestinian officials have threatened to withdraw from the Oslo Accords signed with Israel if US President Donald Trump announces his Middle East peace plan this week. In a statement on Sunday, the Palestinian Authority's foreign minister called for a clear international declaration rejecting the deal of the century, which he said would endanger regional stability. Chief Palestinian negotiator Saved Erekat said the Palestine Liberation Organization reserved the right to withdraw from the interim agreement if Trump unveils his plan. Erekat said the U.S. deal was an attempt to destroy the two states and would open the doors of one person, one vote from the River Jordan to the Mediterranean. The Israeli-Palestinian Interim Agreement, signed in Washington in 1995, sought to put into practice the first Oslo peace deal agreed 2 years earlier, sometimes called Oslo II. The Interim Agreement set out to scope a Palestinian autonomy in the occupied West Bank and Gaza.
And you've tuned to Radio Havana, Cuba, our national and international news broadcasting on all of the shortwave radio frequencies around the world. Let's go back now to Susana Nieves and Abel Vasquez.
The National Director of Epidemiology at the Ministry of Public Health, MINSAP, Dr. Francisco Duran Garcia, says that the island has a necessary surveillance mechanism to reduce the risk of infection with coronavirus. Speaking with the media in Havana on Monday, the director confirmed that from the first reports of the disease, authorities activated protection mechanism, strengthening protection at international airports, ports, and marinas. The health official added that insularity is an advantage for Cuba because the cases would enter through airports and ports, where measures can be taken to prevent the introduction of the virus. At all entry points to the country, qualified personnel are able to detect signs of alarm. Duran noted that transmission of the coronavirus occurs from person to person through coughing, sneezing, or touching an infected area.
1 year after the devastating tornado that hit the Cuban capital, the recovery of the areas affected is remarkable. By the end of December, 10,280 houses had been built in Havana, more than the planned 6,166, because of the focus on the relief of people affected by the weather event. On January 27th, the residents of five municipalities in Havana experienced a phenomenon with no precedent in recent history. The tornado killed six people, injured more than 190, affected some 5,000 people, and caused considerable material damage. In housing alone, 1,068 residences were totally destroyed. 1,000 were partially damaged. In the health sector, 19 facilities were damaged, as well as a maternity hospital, 4 polyclinics and 10 family doctor and nurse offices. Cuban President Miguel Díaz-Canel highlighted on Monday the efforts made by the people together with the authorities for the recovery of Havana. On Twitter, he wrote, "Solidarity, effort, and commitment triumph."
A U.S. peace advocacy group has collected more than 10,000 signatures for an open letter apologizing to the Iranian nation for Washington's aggression, particularly President Donald Trump's reckless decision to order the assassination of senior Iranian commander Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani. "As Americans committed to peace and the safety of all people, we, the undersigned, apologize for the actions of our reckless, hate-filled president." The letter by Code Pink reads, "The activists promise to do everything we can to stop Trump's aggression, remove the crippling sanctions you are suffering under, and resume a process of diplomacy with your country. The American people do not want a war with Iran. We want to live in peace and harmony. Please accept our hand in friendship. May the peacemakers prevail over those who show hatred and discord." The peace advocacy group is sending the letter, both in English and Farsi, and a video version to the Iranian press.
France has confirmed its first two cases of the Wuhan coronavirus, with one patient being hospitalized in Paris and other in the southwestern city of Bordeaux. Health Minister Agnès Buzyn told a news conference these were the first two confirmed cases in Europe and that more cases were likely to occur in France. Earlier, the charity SOS Médecins said it had treated patients of Chinese origin who was showing symptoms of fever and who said he had been in contact with people from Wuhan province in China, the epicenter of the coronavirus outbreak. Buzyn said this patient was 48 years old and had returned 2 days ago from a trip to China, which included a stop in Wuhan. "He's been put in an insulated room so as to avoid any contact with the outside world. He's fine," she said. Buzyn said she had no information yet on the second case in Paris, which had just been confirmed. "The virus has created alarm, but there are still many unknowns surrounding it, such as how dangerous it is and how easily it spreads between people. It can lead to pneumonia, which has been deadly in some cases."
A total of 1,754 Hondurans, part of the 2020 caravan, were deported from Mexico and Guatemala as of January the 23rd, according to reports from Central America. On that date alone, 675 people were returned, including families and unaccompanied children, according to information from Jessica Guzman, head of the Honduran Migrant Protection Office. another 81 deportees arriving on a flight from the United States to the northern city of San Pedro Sula, where the migrant caravan started.
And those are some of the stories we're following for you. Let's take a look once again at our headlines.
Tributes to José Martí on the 167th anniversary of his birth.
President Díaz-Canel, I learn every time I meet with students.
Lula calls on Brazilians to fight to regain nation's democracy.
Palestinians threatened to quit also a course over Trump peace plan.